Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, and we remembered Jesus' final steps as he made his way to Jerusalem. And Luke tells us that when he arrived at the Mount of Olives, which is just basically the hill that overlooks the old city of Jerusalem, that Jesus wept over the city, saying, "If you had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace." 2,000 years have passed, and there's still lots and lots of reasons to weep and to cry, whether it's over Jerusalem, which still does not know the things that make for peace, or Washington, D.C., or Keokuk, Iowa. There's still division, there's still conflict, there's still war, there's still corruption. On the personal level, we're still impacted by disease and death and human brokenness of pretty much every kind. Any pew, any family, we're all impacted by it. But I'm here today to tell you, and I'm convinced of this, that the world doesn't need our tears or our sadness or our grief. What the world needs is our joy and our laughter and our faith in a risen Savior. What the world needs is resurrection. No question about it. That's why we're here. This past week on Facebook, I posted a picture. Some of you may have seen it. It's a picture of a picture that hangs in my office, and it's a picture of Jesus laughing. And I had this picture. I think I got it when I was maybe still in college, definitely in seminary. So it's followed me around now for more than 30 years, and it watches over me when I work on my sermons. And I love this picture. I don't love it because I think it's an accurate portrayal of what Jesus looked like. Jesus was a first century Middle Eastern Jewish man. And most of the time when artists render him, they make him look like somebody who would fit right in a Hollywood romantic comedy or blockbuster movie or something. Not much like probably what he actually looked like. But what I love about this picture is that I think it captures the essence of Jesus' joy. And you don't have to read very far in the Gospels to see that Jesus was a very, very different kind of religious leader from what the world had ever known before that. In fact, one of the early criticisms of him and his disciples was that they were having altogether too much fun. How awesome is that? Again, something I love about Jesus. He was accused of being a drunk and a glutton. In one exchange, some people came up to Jesus and they said to him, "The disciples of John," and they're talking about John the Baptist, "the disciples of John the Baptist fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." So what they're saying there is, we know those guys are religious because they look miserable about half of the time. But your guys are having a lot of fun. What's up with that? And I love Jesus' response. He says, "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them?" Which is just another way of saying, when the guest of honor is at the party, it's time to party. I love the joy that I see in Jesus. I love the joy that I see in his disciples. And I want others to see that joy in me. Strangely enough, that's one of the reasons that I quit drinking about 10 years ago. And that wasn't the only reason. I felt like I was leaning on that a little more heavily than I should have, and I needed to lean on God a little more. But at the same time, I didn't want anybody to mistake my good spirits or my exuberance for anything other than, certainly not the spirits I was imbibing, but the Spirit of God. And I'm a pretty happy, optimistic guy anyway. This is a picture of me kind of just normally, right? Now you can imagine I'm out at a party or I'm out at a restaurant or a bar or something like that. And if I'm just being me, and God has put a joy in me that I couldn't muster myself either. And that comes from him, not from me. But I'm thinking to myself, if people see me being me with a drink in my hand, they might very well confuse my joy with something else. And I never want that to happen. And so the fix was an easy one for me. as disciples of Jesus, I believe we are called to live in contrast to the world. We are called to be different, even if that makes us a little funny, even if that puts us out of step a little bit with the world around us. Many people have even pointed out that the essence of humor is incongruity, not something not matching, right? So the reason that you laugh at a joke oftentimes is that you're expecting to see one thing or hear another thing, only to be surprised. And that surprise is what makes you laugh. Kind of like seeing a picture of your pastor in a funny hat and a red feather boa on an Easter morning. It's not something you're expecting to see. In many ways, Easter was unexpected, incongruous with what had come before. So we know the story. We know that on Friday, we call it Good Friday, but on Friday afternoon, Jesus gave up, he breathed his last. He said it is finished, and he died. And they checked. They stuck a sword in his side to make sure he was dead. And blood and water gushed out. I mean, it's pretty gruesome. But he was dead. He wasn't just dead. He was dead. And they put him in a grave. They put him in a tomb. And they left him there for 3 days. And I know that doesn't sound like the beginning of a very good joke, but nobody saw what was coming. Nobody did. Even though he talked about it, nobody saw what was coming. Let's take a look at the story as we find it in Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. So this is undoubtedly a pretty strange day, taken in whole. But it started out really pretty normally. So women were doing what women do. They were taking care of business. They were cleaning up the mess that the men had made. If you want to get right down to it, that's what they were doing. They were going to prepare the body of their friend. And they had to wait until the Sabbath was over. You don't do that. You certainly don't come into contact with a dead body. This was kind of sacrificial service, but this is something they would have done for any of their friends or family. This is what women did. They went to prepare the body. And suddenly, wham, what shouldn't have been suddenly was. And they're hearing that Jesus has been raised from the dead, that he's no longer here. And then they remember. The angels tell them, "Don't you remember?" And they're like, "Yeah, we do remember." And they go and they tell the 11. And this is where the incongruity continues. We continue to see it in the story, the unexpected. So they go and they tell this message to the disciples. And what do the disciples say? "This is nonsense. This sounds like an idle tale. Are you trying to kid us? Are you trying to play a practical joke on us?" It'd be almost like if you came to me on this particular day in April and said, "Congratulations, you've won the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes." And I would say, this is an April Fool's joke, isn't it? It's got to be. As we know, today is not only Easter Sunday, it is April Fool's Day. And that doesn't happen very often. The last time it happened was in 1956. How many of you remember Easter 1956? You were there, but do you remember it? All right. The next time it's going to be Easter falls on an April Fool's Day is in 2029, and then in 2040, and then not again this century. I mean, so that's how rarely it happens. Not very often at all. Of course, the history of April Fool's Day really doesn't have anything to do with the Christian faith, as far as we know. But early Christian theologians, they saw something unexpected in the resurrection. They saw that incongruity in that. And guys like Augustine, St. Augustine, you've probably heard of him, or John of Chrysostom, they said that that the resurrection in many ways was like a practical joke that God played on the devil. Isn't that a great idea? The devil thought he'd won, right? I mean, Jesus was dead, and his ministry was over, and his people were scattered. The devil won. Darkness won, and evil won. Only that wasn't what happened. April Fools, says God. The Greek Orthodox Church even has a name for this now. It's they have a Latin phrase, Rissus Paschalis, which means Easter laughter. Isn't that a great idea? Easter laughter. When the unexpected becomes true, when it becomes real. In some churches, they even celebrate something called Bright Sunday on the Sunday after Easter. And they dress up in funny costumes, and they tell jokes to one another. They play pranks on one another, which I think is a great idea. This morning, I opened up my Facebook page, and this is a picture that was taken in... this used to be my office at a church in Northwest Ohio, and they've got a new minister there. And the youth group placed these cups of water in his office. So in order for him to get to his desk, I don't know how he's going to do that exactly. I don't think he's going to be jumping over those. But I thought, how wonderful is that on Easter Sunday, which also happens to be April Fool's Day? But I think God would approve of our laughter. I think God loves laughter. Absolutely loves joy. Wants to see it in us. Years ago, I did a funeral for actually a man in that church, First Christian Church of Wauseon. His name was Gene Roseman, and he was a butcher in town. And he was a man of just immense joy and faith. And he was diagnosed with cancer, and he was in hospice care for quite a while. But he continued to live fearlessly and joyously. He lived as a counterpoint to death and to sadness and to grief. The whole time he was dying, he was this bright light for everybody to see. And one day he called me over, and he said he wanted to plan his funeral, and he had some scriptures picked out. And then he had one request. He said, I want you to, at some point in the service, I want you to say the punchline of my favorite joke. He says, because everybody knows the joke. I've been telling it for years, and I've told it 100 times, so everybody knows it. But just say the punchline. And I agreed to do that. But since you don't know the joke, I'm going to tell you the joke. Okay, so this is how it goes. Once upon a time, a man comes into some money. He'd never owned a new suit, and so he decides that he's going to buy a new suit. So he goes down to Sears and Roebuck, and he orders a new suit, and it comes in. And he takes it home, he tries it on, and it's cut all wrong. One of the sleeves is like 6 inches too short, and the other sleeve is 6 inches too long, and one of the pant legs is like a foot too short. And he's like, so he goes back to Sears and Roebuck, and he takes the suit in, and he says, this suit is cut all wrong. And the clerk there says, well, let me just hold on. Let's see. He says, why don't you try that suit back on again? So he tries it back on again, and he's standing there, and the clerk says, let's just try something with me. He says, I want you to lift this arm up like this, and I want you to drop this shoulder and kind of stick this arm out like that, and I want you to lift this leg up like this, okay? And so the man does it, and he goes, see? It fits perfectly. And so the man is pretty happy with that, so he leaves in his brand new suit, and he's walking down the road like this. And a couple of his friends across the street see him walking down the street, and one of them says, "Oh man, look at poor Joe. He's just eat up with arthritis." And the other one says, "Yeah, but that look how good that suit fits him." Almost screwed up the punchline there. But don't that suit fit him good? So at Gene's funeral, I say the punchline, "But don't that suit fit him good?" And everybody laughed. Everybody laughed. But I'm pretty sure they weren't laughing because of that old joke. But actually, they were laughing because of a much, much older joke. Practical joke that Jesus played on the devil. When all the forces of evil had arrayed against him, and they thought he was dead and buried and no longer a threat to them at all, and he was raised from the dead. That was what they were laughing about. That's where our joy and our hope comes from. To this day, whenever Christians gather to tell the Easter story, you can still hear laughter. Whether it's in churches or hospitals or funeral homes or cemeteries, I'm convinced that the world doesn't need more reminders of the power of death. The world doesn't need more sadness or tears. What the world needs is what we have to offer, which is faith in a risen Savior who offers us life abundantly and eternally. Some might confuse that exuberance and that joy with maybe drinking a little bit too much of the good stuff, which happens, by the way, happens 50 days after this on Pentecost. Remember the story? 9 o'clock in the morning, boy, is there exuberance on that day, and they accused the disciples of being drunk, 9 o'clock in the morning. But we know the truth, and the truth has set us free, that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and we are risen with him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life that we have in Jesus Christ, that because he died and lives again, we have the hope of living forever, abundantly, now and forever with you. Bless us and be with us as we continue the celebration today. In Jesus' name.